Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Neil, we are ever mindful of our brothers and sisters and friends across the border in Malaysia.
We most certainly are, and I have one very close brother north of the border. He used to sit in your chair occasionally. Sometimes he'd slept, sometimes he hadn't. He was never less than professional anyway.
Jason Desmond, environmental advocate, entrepreneur, radio host, and TV host, joining us on the line. Good morning, JD. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. I'm doing good. I just woke up, actually. It's a good Saturday so far.
You see?
Yeah, you guys have it so easy up there, you media moguls, you. hey, clue us in on what's happening now with the further movement order and things in KL and around Malaysia. What do we know?
Well, we've moved into phase two of what we call the movement control order, which is basically a restricted movement order that you guys have been put in. I think it's going to be put in place in Singapore starting on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you guys are going to have it for a month. We've had it for 2 weeks now, 14 days. We've just moved into phase two, which I think we're now in day 16. So what that means is, our movements are even more restricted now. We're only limited to a movement of within a 10-kilometer radius from where we live. So if we need to go out, we either need to get a permit from the police, or you need to show your electricity bill or something to show where you actually live, so they'll calculate whether you are within 10 kilometers. So it's a good thing. At this point, we're pretty used to staying at home and working from home. I'm never going to leave my house even after COVID-19 leaves. I'm so happy doing what I do right now. I never go anywhere.
You sound like me, Jason. I mean, I work from home anyway, so I'm not sure what all the big deal is. You know, it's not much difference in my life. But I've noticed that, as you mentioned there, the MCO, the Malaysia's Movement Control Order, they've stepped up slightly, haven't they? I saw an interview with the Kuala Lumpur police chief, Mazlan Lazim, who said that, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that you have roadblocks in place now and police can stop you and you have to either produce a letter or work identification proving that you need to go to a certain essential job. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. So if you're a medical, someone in working in healthcare, or you need to go to the hospital, yes, that's essential. If you need to, let's say, I don't live with my parents, but let's say I had to go pick up my parents for a medical appointment, then that's valid. But I need a letter from the police to say that I'm allowed to do that. Otherwise, they did set up roadblocks, and these aren't just regular roadblocks. They've got concrete blocks that are across the street, across the road, so you don't have any access. So let's say it's a three-lane highway. Two lanes are blocked off. One lane is for the cops to check you out. So if you do need to go out and you do need to go on the streets, you're going to have to deal with a long traffic jam before you even get to where you're going, because the cops are really, really stringent. They will check your temperature. They will be very strict. And if you don't have a valid reason, they will turn you away. You have to make a U-turn to go back to where you were. And there was a woman who yelled at a cop recently because of one of these roadblocks. And she's been basically fined, and potentially, if she doesn't pay the fine, she'll be put behind bars.
Wow. Well, that ties in with my follow-up question. You know, we're introducing our own circuit breakers, as we're calling them here, but we don't have roadblocks in place yet. We don't have sort of measures of that kind of magnitude yet. We're kind of hoping we don't need to get that far. But so my question to you is, are they, sounds like an obvious question, are they working? I mean, did you need those roadblocks in place before people really started adhering to the rules here?
The reason why phase two was ramped up was because people generally took this as a little holiday. Hey, I don't need to go to work anymore. I can just go about and do things my way. But you're supposed to be staying at home. Yes, the roadblocks needed to be put in place, and they are working. They arrested a bunch of people. They've given summonses to a lot more because people haven't been following the rules. So this had to be done, and it generally is working. I've been speaking to a lot of medical personnel who said that, hey, this works. We're seeing a lot less people coming into the hospitals right now. The people who are going to the hospitals are those who needed to be checked up, and they were asymptomatic or whatnot. So, the roadblocks, they work. You need to stay at home.
And Jason, one interesting item that surfaced this week, which is was apparently helping keep some people off the roads in Terengganu, was the sighting of a ghost. Tell us. This was just a fun story, but tell us about what happened with that.
Well, apparently people aren't afraid of the cops enough here, and being put in behind bars, it doesn't really work, apparently. So on the east coast of Malaysia, what they did, he's a regular dude who decided to dress up. There were two cases, actually. One was this guy dressed up. He wanted to dress up as Gandalf.
But
he didn't look Gandalf-y enough, apparently. So everyone thought that he was a ghost. He was standing on top of a truck or something, or a van. And some people were freaked out enough to stay at home, and some people thought it was great, and then they took pictures of it because, hey, this, like, has never happened before. And it worked, so much so that the cops actually commended him for helping them keep people at home. But there's another case where people were dressed up. In the Malay culture, in Islamic culture, when you pass on, you're wrapped up in this white cloth, basically. And the old wives' tale is that if you don't do it properly, they come back and then they start hopping around. And there were two guys who were dressed up as that. And that's also trying to freak people into staying at home. So there are many ways people are doing this, but it's funny, yet it also shows how, in some cases, how disobedient people are with this MCO, that they still go out and you need to get to this ghastly way to keep people at home. So it's funny, though, yeah.
Well, I mean, if we can't get the roadblocks in Singapore, I may dress up. I may wear the white sheets and become the Matsali Hantu, you know, the white ghost of Singapore, yeah, to get these things done, you know, because I'm not sure, Jason. That's why I ask you the difference between sort of phase one and phase two, that you've seen a big difference between the phases, because I think at some point you get advised what to do, but then almost you need to be told what to do, don't you?
Yeah. So phase one was, hey, please stay at home, do what's right, and because what you're doing is helping to save lives and you're helping those in the medical field. Phase two is, hey, stay at home or we'll put you behind bars, because if you go out, you're going to endanger everybody. If you go out, we will treat you like a criminal. So I think that's the general difference between phase one and phase two.
And there's one thing I wanted to ask you. It's a slightly sensitive one. I've read about this many times myself this week. I know you know about it. The release that came from your Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. You're laughing already. You know where I'm going.
Oh, we all know where he's going.
Got a hell of an acronym, KPWKM, which no one's saying, I'm sure. But this thing, Jason, has gone all over the world. They were talking about it on The Daily Show in America. You know, for the benefit of Singaporeans who don't know the requirements or suggestions offered to Malaysian women at home, maybe you can enlighten us and tell us what the reaction was.
Yeah, okay, because apparently Malaysia were a century behind everybody else. That's why we needed this, apparently. So what the Ministry of it's all about development of women. So you're thinking, hey, let's we're trying to be feministic. We need to get rid of the glass ceiling and whatnot for women to be more empowered, to be entrepreneurs, to step up, basically. Yet you have this minister who literally just said, hey, during this time of MCO, stay home, but don't yell at your husbands. And don't get irritated, and don't raise your voice. In fact, if you want to get him to do anything, speak to him in a voice of a cartoon character called Doraemon, which is very popular in Japan and also in Singapore. But basically, that the voice of that cat is, number one, super annoying to me. I don't know how that would ever work to get him to do anything. And number two, this is probably the most archaic. It's not a rule, it's not law, but it's a set of tips that will help keep your space at home during the MCO nice and peaceful, apparently.
So are you going to give us your Doraemon impersonation right now? Do we get one? Or has your wife been doing it to you?
No, my wife just tells me what to do. So I'm this is what it's like in 2020 in the real world, but my wife telling me exactly what to do.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly. I showed these.
I don't know how to even do that voice, and to be honest, if my wife did that voice, I would probably
you'd break your MCO.
Not do whatever she wants me to do even more.
Yeah, I showed these tips, Jason, to my wife, and honestly, the word she used, I cannot use on this radio show anyway. So.
All right.
It's
well,
like, what the, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but, exactly.
They still apologize, though, and I get what they wanted to do to try to, because we're in an enclosed space for an extended period of time, and you want to keep the peace at home, but that's not how you do it. You're what does putting on makeup do to help keep peace at home? Because yeah. It doesn't do anything unless you're... I kind of would justify it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I put makeup on all week, and it didn't change anything in our house.
I can vouch for that. He looks not so great sitting across from me right now, but really? That's a whole other... Although, apparently, he is going to have a manicure and pedicure later,
exactly.
So that should help him. Anyway, that's a long story. Jason Desmond, environmental advocate, entrepreneur, radio and TV host, calling in from KL with the situation there. Thanks for the update today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.